We've taken a few minutes here and we've been thinking and talking about faith. I was talking to Kevin Ashby this morning, and Ann, y'all know, is in the hospital. She had surgery. And I mean, they're standing strong. I mean, Kevin, he's there. He's standing strong. He's believing. He's, you know, that she's going to have a full and rapid recovery. But he did ask for us to pray for her. To eat more than what she's eating, gaining strength. She's a little frustrated right now because she thought that the doctors told her she was going to be going home within 7 to 10 days. And her doctor did tell her that, but the plastic surgeon is saying, no, you're not. I guess they're wanting to watch for infection and things like that with the work that he did. And so she's a little frustrated about that right now because she wanted to be home today. Actually, Thursday. She wanted to go home on Thursday. And so as we were talking here a little bit earlier this morning about faith and about provision and what David said about that, I believe there was an atmosphere of faith that was being generated here. I believe that what was going through the hearts and the minds of the people in this place was, the just shall live by faith. Man, there is so much that I'm believing for. There's so much that I'm going through that yeah, I need to finally take God at His word and believe that it's true. And so if we're of that mindset, if we're of that attitude, the Bible says that by His stripes we were healed. The Bible talks about how He shall give us peace, peace that passes understanding. And so I want to take a few moments right now. It's just gotten to the point now where I don't want to wait. If someone says they need prayer, let's do it now. Don't say, hey, brother, I'll pray for you and move on. No, let's pray right now. And so we're going to pray for Ann right now. And we're going to believe that the things that the doctors are saying, that she does what they say. But man, we want peace in her life. We want that frustration gone. We want the speedy recovery coming about. She wants to go home. All these different things. But let's pray right now. Father God, we just thank you right now for Ann. Father, you know what she's going through. You know what the doctors have told her. But Father, you're bigger than the doctors. Your healing hand is bigger than what the doctors would say. And so right now, Father, we stand in agreement with Kevin. We stand in agreement with Ann. That your mighty healing hand rests upon her body right now. Father, that she does the things that she's supposed to do and what the doctors are telling her to do. And Father, we know that you are faithful to do what it is that you said that you would do. Right now, Father, we're standing in agreement that by your stripes, she is healed. It's done. It's already a done deal. You purchased it on the cross 2,000 years ago. Healing is hers. Father, we stand in agreement with her. They've asked us to stand in agreement. Said where two or three are gathered together in your name, you're in the midst of them. Whatever we ask, Father, you said it'll be done. So we thank you, Lord, that healing flows from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. And right now, Father, we also lift up Kevin. Too many times we forget about the spouse in these situations. Father, we just pray right now for the peace that passes understanding to fill his heart, soul, and mind from the top of his head to the soles of his feet. And Father, we just praise you and thank you that he is encouraged by you and by your word as he meditates on it. And as he's there and he's talking with Ann and things like that, that they encourage each other in you. And so, Father, we fully expect them to be reaching out to us, to be sharing with us the good things that you've done in their lives and on their behalfs with regards to what you're doing in her body right now. We praise you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. It bears repeating. I've said this, I've given this story before here, and I gave one last week about George Mueller. And one of them here, it says, talking about how Mueller, one morning he woke up, and the news at the orphanage was they had no food. And they had 300 kids that needed to be fed. And so what did he do? He told the children, told the house mother, gather the children up, bring them into the dining room, sit them down to the table, put the plates on the table, put the cups on the table, put the forks and knives on the table. And he just sat there. And what he did is he thanked God for the food. What food? There was no food in the house. There was a knock on the door. And it was the bread maker. He said, the Lord awakened me in the middle of the night and he told me that you were going to be needing bread. So I made 3 batches of bread for you. Let me go get it. So he brings it in. So here you've got Mueller. He sits down at the table, and it says here that he waited. You know what? Sometimes our faith requires us to wait just a little bit. And we tend to want microwave faith. I like it, if I can get it. But too many times we want that. We want it fast. But sometimes we may have to wait. And guess what? Sometimes in the waiting, there's the opportunity for doubting. Come on. Anybody's never doubted when you're standing in faith for something? And always have faith that nobody will text you during the middle of your sermon. This guy's sitting in church right now too. I know who that is. But anyway, but sometimes in the middle of our waiting, sometimes doubt will try to come. Sometimes Satan will try to speak to us and tell us, well, you're sitting here waiting for food. There is no food. There's nothing in the cupboard. There's nothing on the plates. These kids are going to go to school that morning. They're going to go to school hungry. There's the opportunity in the waiting, because it says here he sat at the table and he waited. There's opportunity in the waiting for us to sometimes waver just a little bit. But as we read here, Mueller, and I believe a lot of you in your similar situations, you sit there, it says he sat there and he waited. What was he waiting for? Waiting for the food to show up. Who was this confidence in? It was in God. He had no doubt that God was going to bring the food to that table. So a knock came on the door. Sure enough, three batches of bread come in. Well, what's the next thing happen? You need something to wash bread down with once in a while, right? So then there was another knock on the door. The milkman's cart broke down out in front of the orphanage door. Coincidence? Just in front of the door of the orphanage. And for him to leave that milk sit there and fix his cart, the milk would have spoiled. So he knocked on the door. And he says, Mr. Mueller, instead of my milk spoiling here, do your kids want to drink some free milk? They drank milk. He sat at the table. He was in faith. He believed God. He knew God would move on his behalf. And he sat there and he waited. Sure enough, bread comes, and then milk comes. And then all throughout the ages, throughout all the years there, never did they lack for heat. They never lacked for medicine. They never lacked for warm clothes. And there was always bread. From that day forward, this was a man who finally took God at his word. He had a knowing that God would provide. And if you read the story of George Mueller, all these different orphanages and the money that he had to believe for, he never took a salary, just had to believe all the time for God to provide, and God always provided for their behalf. And thousands of children went through that orphanages and were raised up to be productive citizens in the society there. You know, and as these orphanages grew, like I said, they always had the food, they had the clothing, they had the medicine, all those different things. It's as if Mueller had a direct line to God. So do we. We have a direct line. Why do we pray? You ever thought about it? Why do you pray? I pray because I have an expectation that God hears me, number one, and that he's going to answer. And this is the confidence we have in him. If we ask anything according to his will, we know that he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we know that we have the petitions that we ask. So when you ask God, when you're talking to God and you're asking for something, you can have a confidence that what you're asking for, as long as it's in line with his will, it's going to be done for you. So as Mueller, as he was sitting here at this table here and all these extraordinary things were happening, the same God who showed up every day at Mueller's door invites us to boldly go to him with our daily needs. That should have caused somebody to shout right there. I don't care who it is. Carrie, go ahead and shout. There you go. She'll shout for me. But anyway, that... the same God. We read about the Muellers. We read about the Brother Hagans. We read about the Oral Roberts and all these great miracles and things that happened in their day and in their lives. The same God who worked in their lives and all the stories that everybody is telling about their lives to this day. So many people are repeating the stories of Brother Hagin in the Word of Faith circles. Brother Hagin, it was great. I'm glad that he moved on his behalf, but that same God is moving on our behalf today. Never doubt that. When the whatever the Word of God says, have a knowing, let it come down on the inside of you and just sit there and say, my feet are planted because the Word of God said it. There's nothing that's going to shake me because the Word of God said it. I have faith, I have trust in what the Word of God says, and nothing shall by any means move me. I will not draw back. I will not be shaken. My feet are planted on the rock. Whatever wind, whatever storm comes my way and beats against me vehemently, it will not move me. It will not shake me because the Word of God says so. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, like I just said, Brother Hagin, Oral Roberts, George Mueller, John Wesley. Put a name to anybody when you hear all these great stories, all these great men of faith. Put a name in there and then put your name in there. If you believe the Word of God and you act upon the Word of God, He has to be true to His Word. He can't not provide what it is that He says that He would provide. That seems awful bold. Yeah, it is, because He said it. So if He said it, I can believe Him. My faith says I can believe what He says. What's going on in your life? Well, not much. I got all I need. I'm comfortable. Come on. No millionaire ever said that he was comfortable with $10 million. He wanted 30. Anyway, it's a poor example. But anyway, there's always something in our lives that we're believing God for. And I think that we worry. I think people nowadays worry now more than they ever did before. Whether they're going to make it. Whether they're going to make it with the cost of living, the politics, the challenges that our children face, all the different things that are going on in the world today. But Hebrews 13:8 says, my God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If He took care of them back then, He'll take care of me today. If He took care of me last week, He'll take care of me next week. He took care of me last month, He'll take care of me next year. Don't ever doubt that. He's a God that can't lie. When He makes a promise, He has to come through on it. And He will. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 6. We're going to look a little bit more here about faith. In chapter 6, verse 5, it says, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, who love to pray publicly on the street corners and in the synagogues where everyone can see them. I tell you the truth, that is all the reward they will ever get. As I said earlier, why do we pray? Why do we pray? Not the hypocrites, but why do we pray? We pray because we have an expectation. Expectation of what? Expectation that what God said He will do, He'll do. Anybody expect God to do what He says He'll do? Okay. I'll read a little bit more so I can convince you a little bit more. Okay. Verse 6. But when you pray, go away by yourself, shut the door behind you, and pray to your Father in private. Then your Father who sees everything will reward you. Now, can this be a literal closet that you go into? I believe some people take that literally. Go into a closet, shut the door, and pray, and all those things. And I have no problem with that. But I think sometimes it's just, you know, block the world out. Forget the distractions. If you have to go into a room, to a closet, to do that, to where it's nice and quiet, I'm in my office in there this morning. I got the overhead light turned out. I got the lamp on, and I got worship music playing, and I'm sitting there just talking to God and just listening as to what He would have me do here this morning. And then when you believe that He's told you to do something, well, faith is just everywhere. Then you have to have faith to act upon that. Told me to move that little podium down there. I moved the podium down there. Told me to have Trevor put that camera right there in the center. Put the camera in the center. Told the worship team, stay up here. Play music. Don't leave yet. I had to believe, I had to have faith that that's what God wanted me to do. Otherwise, if it's in my own head, just an emotional, you know, thing. And I don't want it to be that. I want it to be something that's meaningful to people. I want it to be something that gets us to start thinking that what God says is true. And that we walk out this life of faith, the just living by faith, that we walk out this life of faith so that we don't have to lack for anything in any area of our lives. You should never lack for anything. Well, then the question would be, well, why do I sometimes? Ooh. Well, God didn't fail. I won't say where the responsibility falls on Rick and Carrie. And those are the only two names I'll name. I know you want me to use us as an example. But it says here, when you pray, don't babble on as people of other religions do. They think that their prayers are answered merely by repeating their words again and again. When you pray about something, don't go on every prayer chat line, prayer chain thing, and get prayer for the same thing over and over again. If you're doing that, you didn't believe it when you prayed it the first time. When you pray for something, and I've got somebody agreeing with me, if Carrie and I and somebody else comes in and we agree about something, or as a corporate body we pray, like we pray for Ann and we agreed together on that, we don't need to pray about that again. Well, what do we need to do? We need to start thanking God. We need to start praising God that what He says is going to come to pass. We don't need to keep praying about it. Too many times I hear people praying over and over and over about the same things. Well, if you're praying over and over and over about the same thing, you're never going to get the answer. It'll never come. Don't be like them. Don't be like those people who are repeating and the hypocrites. Don't be like them, for your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask. Well, that's kind of a funny thing. He knows what I need before He asks. Well, then why do I need to ask? Because He says to ask. My parents know what I need, but there's many a times I had to ask anyway. He says He knows what I need before I ask. So don't be influenced by others who seek attention and notoriety. When He's talking about the hypocrites up here, they love to pray publicly and on street corners. There are people who will pray in such a way so that everybody hears their prayer and whatever their need is, hoping that somebody in the crowd will hear what their need is and provide that need. Well, that's not God. That's not God. I'm going to go over here and I'm going to pray by myself. I'm going to pray quietly. He knows what I need. And if He wants to move on somebody else to help provide that need, okay. But they're not going to hear me pray out that need. Carrie and I have needs you guys don't know about. We're not going to speak them out publicly. God knows that we need those things. And so we have faith, we have trust that when He knows what we need already, then we know that He's going to provide it for us. When I provide for my kids, when I was working my job I retired from, I used to get what they called per diems. And it would come out to, at the end of the month, it was actually cash money, where I would get probably $300 or $400 a month extra just for meals that they were paying me for. I don't even have to eat the meal, and they still give me the money for it. And so out of that money there, I never saw a dime of it. My kids got it all. I knew, not only did I know what their needs were, I knew what their wants were. And I believe that that's how God is. That's how faith works. He knows what our needs are, even before we ask, but He wants us to ask, believing that He's going to provide. But man, He knows what. Throw your wants in there too. Throw your desires in there too. What's wrong with that? Some people will say, oh, you don't want to do that. You know, you're just trying to get from. Yeah, he said He would provide. He said that I will lack for nothing. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Well, I want to, there's some things I want. I almost said what I wanted. And I said I'm not going to say that. But there's something that I want. And it's expensive. Very expensive. He knows that. And I believe that as I stand in faith believing, I believe that he's going to bring it to pass. So he knows what we want, so we don't need influence like that. So in this verse here, we know that we have a father, we have needs, and that we must ask. It's simple. Now, is our life, is our faith life, is our faith walk all about asking and getting? No. When you're witnessing to somebody about Jesus, when you're sharing the gospel with somebody about Jesus, there's faith involved in that. Because even this here, whoever's gotten nervous before they started sharing Jesus with somebody. Okay, I saw one person that said he got nervous. There's two. Okay. So you get a look, there's another one. You see people, it's something that come over you. I've had two occasions here one this morning. I got a chance to talk to somebody about the church. Actually, he was asking about the church. And, oh, by the way, I've got a little thing right here. And it's got, inside of it, be our guest. We have plenty more out there. I gave one out this morning at Casey's. I gave one out Friday at Mattoon Printing, sharing about what's going on here at Life Point Church. So grab some on your way out. You can take five more. That's okay. But all those things are an element of faith. You don't know that person. You don't know how that person will react. And so sometimes fear can well up inside of you. And so you draw back. You don't do that. But faith says you give it to them anyway, and because they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting the message that you're bringing. When you share Jesus with somebody and they say, yeah, I don't want nothing to do with your God, they're not rejecting you. They're rejecting him. So don't take it personal. Keep walking in faith. Keep living by faith. The just shall live by faith. On down to verse 26. Look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or store food in barns, for your heavenly Father feeds them. And aren't you far more valuable to him than they are? Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? They can take away moments of your life. It's fun. Not that this took away moments of her life, but we have had a relative that Carrie and I, when we moved back from Colorado back in 1985, we were moving back on a specific day, but we moved back one day early. And so we called this family member, said, hey, we got back one day early. She goes, oh, and I was just getting ready to worry about you guys. Well, we saved you a day's worth of worry. So it can actually take away. I mean, I think they've even proved scientifically that it can take away moments of your life. So it says here, don't worry. And why worry about your clothing? Look at the lilies of the field and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing. Yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for the wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, will he certainly care for you? Why do you have so little faith? So he's saying that if we're worrying about these daily things, then we're not living by faith. Why do you have so little faith? He's saying, I'm taking care of everything. It's taken care of for you. Anything that you need is at your disposal. Why are you worrying about it? Well, we're worrying about it because there has to come a knowing on the inside of us. I don't know how to explain that like I should, but there has to come something that just drops inside of you that says, yeah, that's it. You can't change my mind on that. It's done. When you got born again, how many believe they're born again? So you have a knowing, right? Well, it applies in every other area of your life. Even though sometimes it doesn't feel like it, but my wallet's a little light today. Well, mine sometimes is, because Carrie gives me only a little bit at a time. But anyway. But sometimes my wallet's a little light today. Well, it says, my God shall supply. What? All of whose needs? Ours. So that verse right there should come and say, my God shall supply all my needs according to his riches and glory through Christ Jesus. Boom! Done. never worry about it again, never be concerned about it again. I don't care what the world's trying to tell me. I don't care that gas was up to whatever it is in California, $6, $7 a gallon. Doesn't matter. I don't care if gas is down to $2.99. That's still $3, people, just so you know. $2.99, that's still $3. I don't care if it's dropped down to $2.99. That's still too high. But you know what? My God shall supply. I need gas in my car. I never have to wonder if I got money for gas in my car. I will always have gas in my car. I will always have food on my table. I will always have money to buy my grandkids whatever it is that they want. That they're, as long as my sons or my daughters say they, I always tell them, if you say they can't have it, fine, I'll go along with that. But anything that you don't say is fair game. So it's all fair game a lot of times. But I will have the money to buy all the things that I want to get my to spend on my grandkids, on my kids. I will have money to spend on care. I will have money to buy another car. I will have, man, Rick, you're awfully bold in those I wills. What if the devil hears that? I hope he does. Because I've got word. I've got something here to stand on that says that all those things are going to happen in my life. I will be healthy to walk these streets to go share Jesus with other people. There's nothing going to stop me from that. I do have courage. God hasn't given me a spirit of fear. But what's he given me? A spirit of love? Oh, if there's a spirit of love, that means you care for other people, right? And if you care for other people, you care for them enough to see them going to heaven, right? So I haven't been given a spirit of fear. So how do I operate where I don't have a spirit of fear? In faith. Because faith, fear will try to come upon you. It'll try and latch itself to you. Matter of fact, the world will try to govern what it is, what you believe, and cause what it is that causes you to think, say, things to think, say, and do. They'll try to tell you what you should think, say, and do. Well, I want to go by with what the Word of God says. Well, how do I go with what the Word of God says when you got things out here that are tangible that I can see, feel, and touch? Got to do it by faith. I operate by faith. Sometimes I have to say that by faith, because sometimes the things of the world are real. And they are painful. I shared it here on a Wednesday night, right before Carrie and I moved to Oklahoma. At 11:30 at night, we got the phone call that her dad died. She got a chance to talk to him around 11 o'clock, and he died at 11:30. We're packed up in a U-Haul heading to Oklahoma at that point. What do you think the feelings were that we're going through? We could have drawn back. But we didn't. We knew that there was a call upon our lives to head to Oklahoma to go to Bible college. And so we started up that van first thing in the morning with the thought in our minds that her dad just died just a few hours earlier. We could have shrunk back and stayed, and we wouldn't be here today if we would have went out there at all. But we couldn't. We had to operate in faith. We had to take that step of faith, that step forward that he called us to. Yet Solomon in all his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for wildflowers that are here today and thrown into the fire tomorrow, he will certainly care for you. Why do you have so little faith? So don't worry about these things saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers. Wow. These thoughts dominate those who don't trust in God. So if they're dominating our lives, then we're not trusting in God. Ouch. Okay, let's move on. We don't want to stay there too long. But your Heavenly Father already knows all that you need. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. And live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. In the Amplified translation, it says, but seek, aim at, and strive for, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness. His way of doing and being right. Seek the way that he would do things in his kingdom. And then all these things, taken together, will be given to you. Besides, struggling for the things of this world is not how God intended things to be. Should we do our part? Yeah. Should we have a job and go to work? Yeah. I'm just believing God, but I'm not going to work. Okay. He that doesn't work shall not what? Eat. But when you have a promise from God and we sit and wait on Him, just like Mueller did, he had a promise from God for provision. And what did he do? Sat the kids down and they waited. Sure enough, God provided. There's nothing different. Mueller wasn't special. Well, I mean, he's special, but he wasn't any better than we are. Kenneth E. Hagin wasn't any better than we are. Oral Roberts. Ooh, man, I'm walking on somebody's sacrilegious ground here. I'm walking on somebody's holy ground. But guess what? They weren't better than we are. I always say nobody is better than me. You might know more than me. You might be able to do more than me, but you're not better than me. And God looks at us the same way. Carrie and I, we've been... I hate to almost even say it this way, but we've been faithful for a lot of years in doing the things that God's called us to do. Have we stumbled from time to time? Sure we have. But we've endeavored to be faithful to do the things that God has called us to do all these years, whether it was financial, whether it was with our kids, in our relationships, with one another, whatever it may be, we were faithful to be there. And now the things that God has told Carrie and I, the things that He's spoken over us, And the things that were spoken of over us by other people, they're all coming to pass now. When we came here, there were some things that we needed. There were some things that weren't in place that we needed. But you know what? The resources, they're all coming in now. The relationships, they're being developed. The people, we had a message here just a few weeks ago about being all in. We had two more people step up last week, volunteering, wanting to be a part of the children's ministry. And guess what? When those two people jump back there and they get going back there, she doesn't have to be back there all the time. She'll want to be at time from time to time, but she can be out with me. Guess what, people? I like her to be sitting here when I'm preaching. And it's not just that she needs to hear what I say and she can't say anything back to me. It's not that. And not that I need this, but there's a comfort in knowing that she's there. When I was delivering furniture years ago, I'm driving down the road and got this big old box truck, and all of a sudden, boom, motor blows into the box truck. I'm like, oh. I get on. That's when I didn't have a cell phone. I had to stop at a pay phone called Collect. I've never done that. I called Collect, and I said, I'm done with this. I'm not going to keep this. Here is, And she's like, okay, well, what do we need to do? So it was all of a sudden, it was like step by step by step. And when the phone conversation was over with, I was like, okay, I'll keep going. But you know what? That's how sometimes it is with our faith walk. Sometimes it's like things come against us. I just don't know what to do. I don't want to keep going. Lord, come take me away. Calgon, take me away. But he's saying, I got the answer for you. Trust me. Have faith in me. Now, at that point in my life, I probably had more faith in her voice than I did. But I know better now. But that's what we need to have. We need to have that confidence that He's going to be there to take care of everything that we need. So the just need to live by faith. We are in a daily faith walk. If we are not walking in faith, we're walking in struggle. Faith says it's done, and my God's done it. Struggle says, I'm trying to do it on my own. And when we're doing it on our own, it is struggle. Life can be miserable. We know an individual right now who is with God for a number of years, and all of a sudden they've walked away from Him, and they're trying to do everything in their own willpower right now, and it's a struggle, and they're like, why are things so hard? Well, they're not walking by faith anymore. They're walking by what can the works of my own hands do. Now, there's something to be said for getting in there and getting your hands dirty and doing something. But you know what? Even doing that, even though I know that I know how to do something, I'm going to work hard at doing it, it's going to come out great, I'm still believing God, that'll come out better than great. My trust has to be in him. I need to be living by faith, even in the things I think that I know. Because I might find out that I don't really know everything that I think that I know. So, but when Carrie and I, we were going to get ready to go to Oklahoma, might have even been before that, there was a CD that I was listening to, and I wore that thing out. And I don't know how many different times I listened to it, but it was Pastor Hagen teaching on a place called There. And it's found in First Kings chapter 17, talking about Elijah and the and all that deal there. And but it was called a place called There, seeking God, you know, as to where he wanted me to be. And I know where I wanted to be, and it turned out that's where he wanted me to be, and it worked out great. But I needed to walk by faith. I needed to say, okay, Lord, where do you want me? There's got to be more than what I'm doing right now. And so I'm listening. Well, in my listening, that's the just shall live by faith. That's living by faith. If you're listening for the word of God, it's not in the things necessarily that you do, although there are some things that we should do. Sometimes living by faith is keeping your mouth shut and sitting still for a minute and see what he has to say. And so that's what I did. I kept my mouth shut and sat still for a minute. And but you know what? If he called you here to Life Point, what you need, that place called there, that provision that you need, is right here. And if you're here, the provision that you're here, that you need is here, and the supply that you're bringing is here, it affects everybody that is here. It's meant to be here. It's meant to be for the people of this place. And if you've got a supply, and everybody does, sometimes we're not walking in the supply that we have. Maybe your supply is that you're a hard worker. Maybe your supply is that you have a smile. Maybe your supply is that you're a great door greeter. Maybe your supply is that you, whatever it may be, you can put down whatever it is. That's your supply. When it's brought here to, I'm going to say Life Point, when it's brought here to Life Point, it's needed here. And when you walk out your supply, whether it's a smile, whether it's a handshake, whether it's a greeter, whatever it may be, that's still an area that you have to walk by faith, because sometimes you don't want to be friendly. There's times that I don't like somebody today. I don't want to be friendly. But you know what? Lonnie, yeah. I'm messing with Lonnie. But anyway, sometimes we don't want to be. But you know what? A life that walks by faith, trust God to bring that about. We have to. But you know, we've been talking about faith. We've been talking about trying to elaborate what faith is. But sometimes to describe something, sometimes you're better off to describe what it isn't instead of what it is. So let's look at what faith is not. Faith is not a panic button to push only in times of trouble. Lord, help me! I have one of those little red buttons. I hit one of those things, you know how they talk and they make a whatever, not today or whatever it may say. I thought about bringing that here, but it's not a panic button to push when you're in trouble. You should never have to look for a panic button when trouble comes your way. If we're a people who live by faith, when trouble comes our way, and it will, James chapter 1, count it all joy when what? Trials come your way. Troubles come your way. So they're coming. It says that no weapon formed against me shall prosper. Well, that means weapons are formed against us, but it won't prosper. So troubles will come your way. We should never have to operate in a way that we're hitting a panic button every time it does, calling four different prayer lines to help us pray out a situation. We should never have to do that, because the Bible gives us the answers to what our problem is, whatever our problem is, and then as I was talking earlier, you have that answer, and then that knowing needs to be dropping. It needs to have already dropped, but it needs to drop right in the center of our being. It says, it's already taken care of. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not lack for anything. I shall not lack. Faith is not a magic wand that instantly settles every problem or question. Huh. Oh, it's done. No, it doesn't work like that. You don't operate that way in it. Faith is not the absence of feeling. Faith is based on the Word of God, not feeling, but faith does not deny the existence of feelings. You may feel what's, you may be angry, you may be upset, you may be hurt. Those are all, you're having the feelings. Don't deny, if you say you're not having those feelings in certain situations, you're lying. Because you do. Carrie's dad, my dad, her mom, all within a period of time, all three died. Were we feeling something? Were we going through something? Yeah, we were. Shortly before we moved out here, I did my Uncle Ed's funeral. You know, so we had a bunch of that stuff going on. Were we feeling something? Yeah, sadness, hurt, whatever you want to call it. But the thing of it is, God said. And what God said, that's what we did. We walked by faith. Faith is not neglect. It does not neglect responsibilities. Well, I'm believing God's going to put food on my table, but I'm not going to go work. Oh, boy. Okay. Get a job, is what he's saying. No, I'm just messing. But no, it doesn't deny your responsibilities. You have responsibilities. There's certain things that are required of you. When you're walking the life of faith, there's certain things that you must do in order for this to happen. If you abide in me and my word abides in you, then you shall ask. Oh, so was there a condition to that? If you abide in me and my word abides in you, oh, that's the condition. So you have responsibilities. No, you can't set aside your responsibilities. Faith is not denial. It's not denying the existence of a problem. You can say, I don't have a problem. I mean, you're going through the worst time of your life. Oh, I don't have a problem because Jesus. No, it's there. The problem, no, it's there. You know, don't deny it. It's beating you up against the head. You're bloody all over here. It's there. If you're denying the existence of a problem, you're lying. Well, then there's another problem. We don't deny the existence of the problem, but we speak out what the Word of God says, which is bigger than the problem. And when that Word of God settles, it drops inside of us saying, yeah, that's it. My God shall supply by His stripes. I've touched the hem of His garment. Then that problem over there, it has to go away because His Word said that it does. I wrote this down here. You might have all the symptoms of a cold, the sniffling, the sneezing, the fever, the chills. I don't have a cold. I'm healed. No, you have a cold. It's there. Matter of fact, don't come near me as right now. It's there. But the Word of God says that you're healed. Start claiming that. And those symptoms have to go away. So faith says we must trust Him and do what He says. Ask yourself today, and we're going to close with this, but ask yourself today, do you have anything that you need provision for, that you need direction for? You have relationships that need mended. Your life is filled with frustration. Provision. And I'm going to go through these real quickly. Provision. If that's the case, if that's what you're going through, the just who live by faith, they're constantly going to turn to the Word of God. That's the only place I have the answers. I'm not a trained professional counselor. All I have is the Word of God. Provision, Romans 8, 31 and 32. What shall we say about such wonderful things as these? If God is for us, who can ever be against us? Since He did not spare His own Son, but gave Him up for us all, won't He also give us everything else? Provision. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing, I shall not want. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I need. Provision. Direction. Proverbs 3, 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. Direction. Relationships. Colossians 3, 12 and 13. Since God chose you to be the holy people he loves, you must clothe yourself with tenderhearted mercy, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Mending relationships. Frustration. Psalm 27, 13 and 14. Yet I am confident I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. Wait patiently for the Lord. Be brave and courageous. Yes, wait patiently for the Lord. Frustration. All these things are in the land of the living. Sometimes we think, well, when we get to heaven, no, he has these promises for us here and right now. And he's telling you, just people, you people who are living by faith, he's saying that these promises are for you here today. And he wants you to walk them out. But there has to come a point when whatever it is that you're going through, or you don't even have to be going through something. There still has to be a time in our lives that knowing has to drop inside of us. That when the time comes that we are going through something, we've got the Word of God to stand on. I just read 6 different verses there on 6 different situations, 5 different situations that we potentially could be going through. Frustration, relationships. Man, there's so many busted up relationships right now. What do we have to stand on? All I've got to stand on is the Word of God. I've got nothing else. And when he speaks to me, I'll act upon it. But when I'm going through something, I've got to keep going back to the Word. We need to keep going back to the Word. He's the way maker, miracle worker, promise keeper, light in the darkness. My God, that's who you are. Even when I don't see it, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. You never stop. You never stop working. He never stops. He never stops working. Let's pray. Father God, I just thank you for your Word. I thank you that your Word is true. I thank you that we can have a knowing deep down on the inside of us, something that settles, something that plants our feet, that we cannot be shaken, we cannot be moved. No spiritual earthquake can ever shake us, can ever move us, can ever knock us off this stand, this rock that we stand on, and that's the rock, Jesus Christ. Father, we trust you. Teach us every day. Show us every day through your Word how we can better be just people who live by faith. Father, we want to please you in every area of our lives. And your Word says that without faith, it's impossible to please you. But we want to please you. We know that faith comes by hearing the Word. Father, we just, we need to get back into your Word. We need to spend lots of time in your Word. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. So, Father, as we leave this place here today, we know that we're not going to leave you here in this place, but that you go with us. And as you go with us, you lead and guide our steps. Father, let those steps be steps of faith every day.